It was the summer of 2018. Not so long ago really, but, at the same time seems like a lifetime ago. And why not, it was a very different time. It was a time of dreams. A time of hope. A time of magic. The kind of magic that makes a mysterious, bottomless box of movies appear on a front porch, all under the guise of an ice cream company contest giveaway. And what does one do when entrusted with such a magical gift? Start a podcast, of course. And thus was born the Pop-Up Filmcast. Along with a menagerie of friends, Keith and the co-host with the most, Derek, dug deep into that fate-riddled box of films each week, reviewing some of the most amazing cinematic features ever created. Starting October 2nd, they are curating the best of those offerings into Pop-Up Filmcast Reanimated. Sure to be a delight to lifelong listeners and new fans alike. So find Pop-Up Filmcast wherever you do that, and prepare for the return of magic in the world once more.
The Podfix Network.
I actually have a question. So is there like an incentive to being on the show in place of Adam? Like, am I going to get like free barbecue or something for doing this? Hello, listeners. You're listening to This Week Today, a comedy podcast that takes a brief look at this week in history, news, entertainment, and more.
Welcome to the show. I'm Toph. I am not joined by my regular co-host, Lord Saunders, again. Instead, we have a very special guest. He is the co-host of an 80s-themed podcast that has gone through many entertaining iterations. Mm-hmm. He's also a fellow intern and a member of the Podfix Network. Please welcome back to the show, Dave Ciampa.
Thank you for having me back. I was so happy when you reached out to be a part of this round of guest spots. It's been way too long since I've been on the show, so thanks for having me back on.
Well, and I need to apologize because obviously I remember when you were on the show last time, but I didn't remember specifically when, and I looked it up, and it was nearly 2 years ago.
It was almost exactly 2 years, wasn't it? Like very, very close to this day, like maybe a little over.
Yeah, we're just past 2 years ago by about 2 weeks.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, to be fair to me, because that's what's really important.
Of course.
Is that we didn't do the show for 10 months.
That is true. So there was a hiatus. So in reality, if you take the 10 months out, it's maybe just a little over a year.
Right. So if we said, hey, on average, we have Dave on the show about once a year, that's not enough, in my opinion.
Right.
But it's not as bad as it sounds.
No, not at all. Absolutely not.
I'd like to play a round of, because I don't know if we did this on our last, because it was 2 years ago.
I'm drawing a blank. I don't know if we did.
I don't know if we played a round of Get to Know Dave Ciampa.
I don't know if we did. I don't remember that. Again, it was a while ago, but I'm not sure we did that.
Well, in case we didn't, let's go ahead and do that. Why don't you just give us a minute or two of who's Dave Ciampa?
Sure. So a little bit about me. So I've been running a podcast with my best friend Greg for about 6 years. We joined the podcast network, Podfix Network, about, oh gosh, had to have been almost 3 years ago at this point, maybe a little less than that. So currently we run a podcast called The 80s Years, in which we discuss TV and movies from the 80s. We wrapped our summer movie series. We watched 5 80s movies starring 80s TV actors this summer, and it was an absolute delight. And I could not have been happier about that. The movies were really choice movies that we watched this summer, and I was very happy. So hopefully you guys have gotten a chance to listen to all of those. Now we're back on our TV rewatch, and we're jumping into the second season of The A-Team. We're probably at the point of this episode, we're a few episodes into season two, and it's such a great show to watch. We're eminent fans of the 80s. This will be our fourth 80s show that we've covered over the course of 6 years on our podcast.
Okay, so that's your show. Tell us some personal things about you.
A few personal things about me. I am, let me think, I'm a huge movie buff. I watch anytime I'm not podcasting or being with my family, I'm always watching movies. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do. I love all kinds of movies. I've watched probably over 1,500, 2,000 movies in my life. I love to do it. I'm an avid hiker. I like going out into the woods. I'm a big camper. My family and I camp every year. It's one of our favorite things. This year we camped in a yurt for the first time, which we've never done before.
That's awesome.
Which was absolutely insane. It was just the four of us in this little tiny room. And I have to tell you, in a summer that we've all had, we've all struggled this summer with like our sleep patterns for some reason. We all slept like a rock the entire week that we were up at that yurt, and it was the absolute best. It was so great. I am a special education teacher at an elementary school in the great state of Maine. It is one of my passions, and I am currently studying my master's degree in education to teach special education and general education, and I'm loving every second of it.
And I don't know if you still do, but in the past, as a family, you've performed theater.
We have, and I don't remember when we did this. So my family and I, in 2019, just before the pandemic, we all four of us were in the Broadway musical Annie. Not on Broadway. community theater production of Annie.
Oh, really? You and your family, Dave, weren't on Broadway.
We were not on the Broadway stage.
How disappointing!
I'm so sorry, everybody. And then a few years later, I think it was last summer of 2022, the four of us once again donned the stage in The Wizard of Oz, which was for me, it topped our experience in Annie because it was a much more sprawling musical. My children were Munchkins and part of the ensemble. My wife was in the ensemble, and yours truly got the coveted role of the Wizard of Oz.
What?
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And it was the best part of that role was I didn't actually have to show up on stage by the last 12 pages of the script. And everything I had to read was on a script behind a curtain in front of a microphone. So I had very little memorization to do for the show, and it was an absolute blast of a part. Oh, and I played Professor Marvel, who in the movie is the same actor who played The Wizard of Oz. So at the very beginning, he's the one who meets Dorothy before she gets caught in the twister, and then he becomes the Wizard of Oz when she lands in Oz.
But also not on Broadway.
No, we did not make it to Broadway this year, unfortunately.
So not really that impressive.
No, although my wife and daughter, for my daughter's 13th birthday, did go to Broadway to see Hamilton over the winter for her 13th birthday, and that was pretty amazing.
Wow.
Yes. that was a pretty awesome 13th birthday for her.
Well, I think it would be cool enough if you or any one single member of your family did theater, but the fact that you do it as a family, I think is very cool.
It's been a real blessing in our life to know that both of our daughters are very big into the theater world. My wife and I met in theater. We went to college. We met actually. I was on the backstage crew of the play that my wife was stage managing back in college. And so we met there. And then my daughters have now had an affinity for being on stage. So for us to be able to do this together, has been a really big blessing. And so we're kind of keeping our eyes out for the next show that the four of us can be a part of.
I think that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
And the other thing I want to throw in is that among the handful of guest hosts we've had in the last few episodes, you're the second one from Maine.
That's right. I believe, who did you have a couple weeks ago or maybe last week?
Melissa McHugh McGrath.
Yes, that's right.
A few weeks ago, Melissa was on the show, and she's also from Maine.
When I was on the Podfix chat that Melissa lived like 25 minutes away from me, so she's scheduled for a guest spot on the 80s years in season two, and I am determined to make sure that we meet somewhere in person so that Greg and Melissa and I can all do a in-person recording in the state of Maine. That is my goal when she comes up on the show. I think it's not due for till like the middle of 24, but my goal is to have the three of us record in person because we are so close together.
Well, I had no idea that she was that close, although Maine's not that large of a state, but the fact that you're only 25 minutes away, that I did not know that, and that's fantastic.
Yeah, it was when she told me where she was located, I was like, oh, well, then, like, we're making this happen. Like, we're going to do an in-person recording, no question.
That is so cool. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I'm very happy.
Okay, Dave. Well, I think you would agree that was an incredibly successful and very solid round of Get to Know Dave Ciampa.
I would agree with that. I would agree. I hope everyone has learned a little bit of something about me.
Well, with that, let's get started and take a look at the calendar of special days so everyone knows what to celebrate this week.
All right.
Dave, it's National Pumpkin Spice Day.
I might be in the minority here, Chris, but I am a pumpkin spice fan. I really do enjoy a good pumpkin spice drink on a cold autumn day.
No, I'm on board. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, good. Oh, fantastic.
Tomorrow is National Produce Misting Day.
Produce misting. Oh, that makes more sense. Okay, I was reading it as produce misting. I was trying to think about how you could how you celebrate producing mist. That makes so much more sense. Thank you for the correct pronunciation.
You're not kidding, are you?
No, until this very second I thought it was produce misting.
No, when I saw this, I was like, no, it can't be that. And it absolutely is celebrating the misting machines that keep the produce moist at the grocery store.
God, I feel so much better about this. Oh my gosh. Okay.
That's
feel
amazing.
Much
I never even thought of reading it as National Produce Misting Day.
That's where my brain went the second I read it, and I'm trying to think of something witty to say about like producing mist out of that. This was even better than I could have imagined.
Yeah, I didn't think we'd get nearly as much enjoyment out of that particular day, but okay. Holy cow. Oh man. Yeah, I was like, oh, National Produce Misting Day, whatever. Okay, well, Tuesday is National Techies Day.
Are you a techie, Chris? Do you consider yourself a techie?
No, I'm definitely not a techie. In fact, I am well known for having technical issues constantly and then exploding because of my short temper around technical issues.
Sounds like Greg.
Yeah. So Adam gets great joy. I think he hopes for technical issues on every episode that we record.
It literally sounds like me and Greg anytime we try to record over Zoom. Yep, absolutely correct. Yeah.
Wednesday is National Walk to School Day. I'd never walked to school, but I definitely rode my bike and I loved it.
I did too. I was a bike rider. Never walked too far, but I always rode my bike whenever I had the chance.
Well, and I won't tell the whole story, but there was a short period of time where I used to get chased by a pack of dogs on the way home every day.
What?
True story.
Wow. Yep. All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then here's a little Paul Harvey for you. The rest of the story, I ended up with one of those dogs.
Did you really? That's fantastic.
Yes. Yep. I will not tell that story, but there's a little tease.
Okay.
Friday is World College Radio Day.
You know, Greg and I actually had a thought once in college that we should have tried to run something in podcast form on episodes on our college radio stations, because I feel like we'd really connect with the youth of America, but we never really went more forward than just a couple of ideas on a notepad.
Well, my roommate had, we had a college radio station on campus. My roommate hosted a show, and then I had two or three other friends that hosted a show. Mm-hmm. And boy, I would love to, if we had more time, I'd talk about that, because there is nothing they did on that show that they could currently do today.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, we the stuff that we used to do in college, there's no way that I feel like we need to burn our archives. None of that can actually ever get out.
I still have a recording of it, and it's incredibly juvenile and extremely offensive.
Can I listen to it?
Sure.
Fantastic.
I have one cassette tape of one of their shows, and it's ridiculous and very offensive.
That's fantastic.
And we'll wrap up this week of terrific celebrations on Saturday with something my children will for some reason refuse to do, which is National Play Outside Day.
How dare you? I will not go outside.
Yeah. But when we tell our kids to go outside and play, they act like we're punishing them.
My daughters do the same exact thing. It's a beautiful summer day. There's sprinklers out. Everything's running. Go outside for give 20 minutes outside. It's 5 minutes later. We're bored. Okay. Well,
yeah. They're like, what did we do wrong? Why do you hate us?
Exactly. Why do you inflict this pain on us on a sunny, beautiful summer
right,
day? I don't know. It's fine. Whatever.
Yes. And then they just sear at us and say, I hate you. And they go outside for 3.5 minutes.
Exactly.
All right, David, with that, let's turn attention to this week in history.
Oh, let's do it. All right, so in 1866, the Reno brothers carried out the first train robbery in U.S. history. Now, for a long time, I was confused, and I thought, I watched this summer the great train robbery from 1979 with Sean Connery and Donald Sutherland. I thought it was about this story, but then it come to find out that this story was actually made into a movie in 1955 called Rage at Dawn. Have you ever heard of that movie?
I have not.
No. So it's a 1955 movie starring people I don't know, but this it was the story of the Reno brothers and the first train robbery in 1866.
Huh, that's cool.
1871, the Great Chicago Fire begins. In 1903, Pittsburgh beats Boston in the first World Series game. In 1916, Georgia Tech shuts out Cumberland 222-0 in the most lopsided game ever played. Now, I'm not a sports guy, but this just seems astronomical for one team to score this many points. Is that?
I am a sports guy. That doubles what a high score would be in an NBA game.
Okay, I just like the idea that that is just that that number even exists in any sports game is just ludicrous to me. But 222-0, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, in 1956, New York Yankees' Don Larsen pitches the only World Series perfect game, which, for me, again, I'm more of a baseball fan than anything, but I'm surprised that this has never been broken, or at least tied, but I guess I don't... I'm assuming it's really hard to pitch a perfect game.
Well, a perfect game is no one gets on base, either with a hit or a walk.
Okay, so yeah, so that is pretty tough.
A no-hitter is... A guy can get on base by walk, just so long as he doesn't get a hit and get on base.
Okay.
But a perfect game is also the absence of a walk.
Okay. All right. So that is pretty difficult to do. So yeah, 1956, Don Larsen is the only pitcher to pitch a World Series perfect game.
Well, and you have to figure that in a World Series, you have two very good teams. You know, it might happen in a regular season game where you've got a very good team against a very bad team.
Right, right. But this is, but for World Series, this is it, and that's pretty outstanding. 1962, Johnny Carson makes his debut as the Tonight Show host. Now, aside from Conan O'Brien's very brief stint on the Tonight Show, I believe Carson to still be the best Tonight Show host ever.
Yeah, he probably was. I mean, before him was Jack Parr, and before that was Steve Allen.
I think
people think of Johnny Carson more than anyone else. They certainly don't think of Jay Leno.
Couldn't do it. Absolutely. And I still look fondly on those, the 9 months that Conan ran the Tonight Show. Some of my favorite late night TV show.
Well, and I'll take this opportunity to say that Jay Leno is a no talent hack. So
you're not going to get any arguments out of me. Yeah. Absolutely not. A couple years later, in 1965, Gatorade was invented at the University of Florida. Orange Gatorade is the best Gatorade ever. I don't know if anyone agrees with me on that one, but I am an orange Gatorade purist.
Sure, I'll go with that.
1977, soccer star Pele retires. 1990, East and West Germany reunite after 45 years. 5 years later, 1995, O.J. Simpson was acquitted. You know, if it weren't for that damn glove, I'm telling you, if it weren't for the glove, it's all I need to say about that.
That was one of the most brilliant defense efforts ever in the history of ever.
If the glove does not fit, you must acquit. Well, how many years later is that? 28 years? And we're still talking about that beautiful defense.
That's right.
And then finally, this blew me away. And again, so second to baseball, hockey is probably my favorite sport. This stat blew me away. In 1997, Gordie Howe, at the age of 69,
nice,
became the only pro hockey player to play and compete in six separate decades.
That's right.
Going back to the 40s, is that right? Or the 50s? I don't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, so. And then he played one game in 97.
Yeah.
So again, such a cool piece.
For those that are not hockey fans, I'll add this note. This is a ridiculous fact in light of the style of play . He was a very aggressive, violent player.
Yes, I did know that. He very much was.
He had what he called educated elbows.
Yes. Yep.
So the fact that he could play that style for six decades makes it even more absurd.
It's unbelievable. What a cool thing to be remembered for, to do six separate decades. Well, all decades are separate, Dave. in 97 to compete in six decades. It's such a fantastic stat. I love it.
It really is. All right, Dave. With that, it's time for the news.
With my favorite jingle.
All right, Dave. So we've done this on all the recent episodes. I would like to introduce you to someone. Her name is Nicole Max.
Okay.
And Nicole, age 35, was charged with tampering with evidence and resisting arrest with violence and premeditated first-degree murder in the death of her 79-year-old roommate, Michael Cerasoli.
Okay.
So the first interesting fact is that she's 35 and had a 79-year-old roommate.
So there's problem number one. Okay.
So that's interesting.
Yeah.
So firefighters were called to what is described as a smoldering home on the 900 block of Clark Street at 1:46 a.m. on July the 1st. That's my birthday, Dave.
Is it really?
It is.
Wow, happy birthday for you and for this story.
Clearly. Now, there were clothes on the second floor that had been set on fire. Apparently, that's how the fire started. Mm-hmm. After quickly extinguishing the flames, first responders found, always a red flag, the word found.
Yep.
Found Cerasoli lying face down in a blood-splattered room.
That's not perfect. Not the best thing to come into at 1:46 a.m.
Yeah, after putting out a fire.
Right, exactly.
So apparently he had suffered blunt force trauma to the head and stab wounds to the torso.
Okay. All right. Not liking where this is going.
Yeah. The dead man's landlord told police that Max was the other tenant, but the woman was nowhere to be found.
Oh, man. I have some reason to believe that she might be involved. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. Just producing a little mist, you know.
Nice. Well, Dave, let's see if you're correct.
All right.
Two cell phones were also recovered near the 79-year-old. I hate the way they worded this. Gosh. Recovered near the 79-year-old's corpse.
Oh, God. That's just like, we know he's dead. Right. Come on, man.
You're really piling on here.
Like, we got it from the first sentence that he was dead.
Right. They've mentioned like four times already that he's dead. And oh, they just, man, make it more morbid every time they mention it.
The 79-year-old who was bereft of life and found on the floor of the... Like, okay, yep. It's your fifth time you've said that. Thanks. Okay.
At least they're mixing it up.
Exactly.
So it said one of the cell phones belonged to the victim, while the other... I actually enjoyed this fact too. Okay. The other, which had a bloodied knife balanced on top of it, belonged to Max.
It was balanced on top, like just sitting there, just like teeter. Was it like, I can only imagine it like teetering on top when they walked in and just see this right. knife like back and forth. Maybe the occasional glint off the overhead light with whatever blood is not on it.
And imagine when when the place was ablaze, there was just.
Exactly.
It must have been brilliant.
Absolutely.
So she left her cell phone behind and then left basically the murder weapon balanced on top of her own cell phone when she left.
Oh my God, I love it.
So any case, less than 2 hours later, police said they spotted a barefoot Max with blood on her leg and ripped shirt outside a nearby Crystal's Hamburgers.
I mean, because what else do you do when you murder somebody? You want a hamburger, right? You're hungry.
I mean, she was famished.
Exactly. Exactly.
After the murder and arson.
Oh, man.
I don't know if you've ever murdered someone and then burned down a building, but it makes you hungry.
I mean, I've only heard through the grapevine. I've never done it myself, but from what I understand, it works up an appetite, and sometimes you got to go get a Crystal's burger.
It does indeed. when the police approached her, it says she dropped a knife and a hammer at her feet.
Oh, so there was a knife back in the apartment, but she also had a knife and a hammer on her?
Apparently.
Oh, wow. Okay. Love it.
This is where it gets interesting, Dave. It says, Max evaded questions about her recent whereabouts. Good idea.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Yeah, and where she lived. First pointing, and so obviously they approached her and said, excuse me, ma'am, who are you and where do you live? And says she first pointed in a direction saying, I live right over there by a nearby pawn shop.
Mm.
And then claimed she had been living on the streets for the last 4 years. Turns out neither one of those is true.
Right.
They couldn't be less true. She, of course, denied knowing Sarasoli. Sarasoli? I still don't know if I'm saying his name correctly.
Sounds right.
The corpse. She denied knowing the corpse. When detectives showed... the detective showed her his photograph. She's like, oh, no, definitely don't know that guy.
I've never seen him before in my life.
And then it says this. I also enjoyed this. When pressed, police said she conceded that she knew the man, but denied seeing him on the day he was murdered.
Oh, good.
She's like, oh, no, I do know him. Haven't seen him today.
Likely story. Come on, Nicole.
Then she shifted again, telling police she currently lived with Sarasoli and was at their home earlier that day.
It's only a matter of time. You know, no good happens after 1 a.m. I'm telling you, just no good happens.
But she gave it up early. Like, she gave it up quick.
I mean, she changed her story how many times in like a very, very short span of time? I don't know what you're talking about. No, I've never met him. I don't understand that picture. Yeah, I recognized him, but I've never been up in his apartment. Yeah, I was there.
Yeah. He's my roommate. I murdered him earlier today.
Yeah, that was me. I'm sorry. You're right. I did it.
Now that you mention it.
Yeah, but that probably was me. I'm sorry.
You know what? That does ring a bell.
Yeah. Can I finish my burger before you take me in for questioning? Do you mind if I'm right. Still hungry. You know, murder does work up an appetite, as they tell you.
I'm halfway done with my burger, and I do want to eat the fries.
Exactly.
So, not surprisingly, she was then taken into custody for additional questioning.
Oh, shocking.
It says, after she was read her Miranda rights, Max told detectives that she never entered Sarasoli's bedroom and only set foot on the second floor of their shared apartment to feed her spiders.
Oh God.
Yeah.
How many spiders? Does it say how many spiders she had?
Nope, just spiders.
Just she had to feed her spiders.
She
okay.
Had some spiders, yeah. That's the only time she went upstairs.
Okay, good. That's, yeah.
When asked about the weapons that she dropped, she became agitated and demanded a lawyer.
That's what drew her to the lawyers? Great.
Right. She didn't feel like she had a need for one up to that point. But,
No.
But they asked her about the weapons. And she's like, okay, that's it.
That's it. You guys, I'm done. You got me.
No more questions. Police returned later with a warrant to test the woman's bloodied body for DNA evidence. So, of course, she's... Her body's also bloodied, so she had enough blood on her that they're like, well, we probably need to test that. And so this is where she says, okay, fine, but I would like a can of Diet Mountain Dew.
Okay. It's an odd request, but, you know, and of course, if you're going to go with Mountain Dew, why make a diet? Like, you know, like, just go full Mountain Dew. You know you're about to go to jail. Just enjoy your last Mountain Dew.
Well, you're about to find out why.
Okay.
This is the way that they describe what happened. So it says she began to procrastinate with the drink.
Mm.
And detectives then reached out and tried to pull it away from her. And this is when she resisted and then poured the can of soda over her body and hair.
Mm. Was she trying to, like, kill the blood or wipe the... Like, what was her... Was there a purpose to it, or did she just pour it over herself?
That's exactly what she was trying to do. It was in an attempt to cover up the DNA evidence.
Where did she read that Mountain Dew covers up your DNA? Oh, my God. I mean, I guess it was on the internet, so it had to be true. So I suppose that's all she needed to do is a simple Google search.
Yeah, so this is when they allegedly forced a pulling and kicking Max into their police cruiser.
God, it took them long enough.
Blood on the knife found near Sully's body, of course, matched samples taken from Max's clothing. Her DNA was also recovered on the weapon's handle. Mm-hmm. She is being held without bond. Good call.
Makes sense.
And is scheduled for an upcoming court appearance.
The poor spiders. Like, that was my biggest concern. That where are the spiders going to go?
Right. I had the same question.
You know? I don't know. It's just...
If I may, I'd like to add a scientific note to the end of the story.
Please.
Regarding your question, can you actually cover up DNA evidence with a with a can of Diet Mountain Dew?
Yes.
A recent study...
What?
...from North Carolina State University indicated that... And I think you'll enjoy both the fact and then how it ends.
Okay.
That sucralose, a common artificial sweetener also known as Splenda and found in Diet Mountain Dew and other sodas,
okay,
can break down the generic material that makes up DNA, and then it finishes with this: it's unclear whether dousing oneself in soda would actually eliminate forensic evidence.
So she may have read that, and maybe she was like, well, I guess there's only one. She probably, yeah, well, there's only one way to find out. Let's give it a shot. But clearly they found this man's DNA all over her body.
So what you're claiming is that this woman that we just got done discussing read a scientific study from North Carolina State University?
It's very possible that she found the same article that talks about the Diet Mountain Dew breaking down the DNA in your body.
What do you think her contingency plan was if they didn't have the specific type of soda she wanted?
So my guess would be like she would try to find like the knockoff. So like there's a great knockoff in Maine for Mountain Dew called Mountain Lightning, which I believe does the same thing. Greg and I were big in college of buying the knockoff from Walmart. We used to buy Dr. Perky and Mountain Lightning from Walmart.
I just wanted to see the look of panic in her eyes when she asked for a Diet Mountain Dew, which is a very specific soft drink.
Exactly.
And they're like, what? We don't have that. Like, we have a Pepsi. And she's like, no.
I'm glad that the burger joint had it.
Yeah. What kind of luck was it that they actually had the specific type of soda that she wanted?
Exactly.
All right, Dave. Well, once again, I have to apologize. We do not have time for our next story.
Oh, it's okay. You got a headline for me?
I do have a headline for you.
All right, let's hear it.
Are you ready for this?
I am sure. Let's do it. Yes.
Michelin star chef shocks fans with plan to add semen-based dish to his menu.
I mean, maybe we... maybe we skip that headline. Maybe we skip that for next time. I don't know. Just a thought.
No, because following, you know how this works, following the apology, then the headline, then we make a promise, which is we will make every possible effort to get to that story in a future episode.
You are correct.
Regardless of the headline, we have to stick to form.
Absolutely. I apologize.
Well, Dave, do you have birthdays for us?
I have many, many birthdays for you guys. So only three actors that we have having birthdays this week are actually younger than me. And that made me feel a little bit happy, although then I kept reading everybody else and then I got sad again. But that's okay. So Trevor Lawrence, football player, quarterback, turns 24 this week. Mm-hmm. Travis Kelce is a tight end.
Kelce?
Don't know who he... What did I say? Kelce? I said Kelce.
He plays for the Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs.
Travis Kelce turns 34. Jesse Eisenberg turns 40. Kate Winslet turns 48 this week. One of my first celebrity crushes, Miss Nev Campbell, turns the big 5-0, 50 years old this week.
Nev Campbell, Dave, is 50.
50. She was my first crush when I watched Scream back in the mid 90s. That was the moment. I was like, ooh, yep, okay. And I feel like that was really long time ago, but she turned 50 this week. That's just crazy to me.
See there, Adam, that's how you recognize a milestone birthday.
Sorry, Adam, you got a lot to live up to. Now I don't know how people feel about this, but the always hilarious Zach Galifianakis turns 54 this week. Are you a fan of Zach Galifianakis, Chris?
Definitely.
Okay, fantastic. Elizabeth Shue, another milestone. Elizabeth Shue turns 60 this week. Now, I might be, again, best movie that she ever did, Adventures in Babysitting from 1987. One of the best.
Just watched that a couple months ago with my children.
Did you really?
It. They loved it.
Oh,
loved
it. I love that movie so much. Tommy Lee and his and his member turned 61 this week. Absolute Putz, Simon Cowell, turns 64 this week. Speaking of putzes, Vladimir Putin turns 71 this week. One of my all-time favorite singers, Sting, also turns 71 this week. Susan Sarandon turns 77. And the oldest president in history, Mr. Jimmy Carter, turns 99 this week. Well, 99 years old.
And I want to be careful. As a member of the Gravity Beard interns, I think you're aware. I want to tread lightly.
Yes.
But I just want to point out that he is currently in hospice.
Okay, so just before we started this recording, I was looking it up, and I'm like, oh no, I have to tread lightly because there are things I can't say on the podcast.
Because if you do, there's consequences. There's consequences, Dave.
Don't want to do that to myself when the man's on hospice.
Right. I'm not saying anything about it. I'm just pointing out. Just pointing out that Jimmy Carter is currently on hospice. In hospice? He's in hospice.
He is in hospice currently, and he is turning 99. So happy birthday, Jimmy Carter.
I'm sure he's doing great.
I think he's doing wonderfully. That's all we can say.
That really is all we can say.
Exactly.
All right. How about some born this week, but now dead?
Thank you, Clay Groves. Dave, I have two people that were born on this day but are now dead.
All right.
The first one, Sir Richard Harris, died in 2002 at the age of 72. Today he would be 93. He is Sir Richard Harris, right? Has he been knighted?
I believe he was Sir Richard Harris. Yes, I do. I did not do anything more than cursory research on that one, but I think he is a sir.
Okay, because I looked him up and it just said Richard Harris. I was like, no, he's Sir Richard Harris.
I'm pretty sure that's right. I'm pretty sure he's Richard Harris. Sir Richard Harris.
Okay, well, show rules prevent us from looking that up, but we're just going to assume that he is.
Yep, exactly.
And then Mahatma Gandhi died in 1948 at the age of 79. Today he would be 154.
Well, happy birthday to you both.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
All right, so before we do any more damage, Dave, that brings us to the end of another episode of This Week Today.
This was such a blast.
What I'd like for you to do before you go is tell us where we can find your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So again, like I said earlier, Greg and I host a show called Ciampa and Klein, the 80s Years. We are all over social media. You can find us on Instagram, Facebook, X, I think is what it's called now. We're on Threads. We're on TikTok. Just search for the 80s Years and you're going to find us. We love talking the 80s. We discuss TV. We discuss movies from the 80s. We are currently in the midst of season 2 of the A-Team. Chris, I know I've got you scheduled for a later episode of season 2 coming up sometime January, February of 2024.
Absolutely.
So really looking forward to getting you on the show. Come find us and hang out with us. We just have a blast doing what we do.
Are you really on Threads?
We are on Threads, yes. And I'm actually more active than I thought I was ever going to be.
Oh, okay. I haven't met anybody that was on Threads, so that's cool.
We are threading, I suppose, is what they call it. Is that what they call it? We're threading? Is that it?
I have no idea.
I don't know.
Sure.
It's fine. It's much quieter over there than any other place I've been, but I'm having fun with it.
All right, some brief credits before we go. Come join us in our Facebook group that we've referenced. It's called the Gravity Beard Interns. Find us on the social media platform that used to be called Twitter by searching at This Week Pod. The number for the JonBenet Ramsey Crime Tips Hotline is 818-308-4348. We'd appreciate it if you would subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. This Week Today is a proud member of the PodFix Network. For more information, go to podfixnetwork.com or search the social media platform that used to be called Twitter at PodFix. Thank you to our friend Phil Rude for a custom logo. For my pal Dave Ciampa, I'm your co-host, Toph. You've been listening to This Week Today. It's what your ears will want to be listening to.
This Week Today is a proud member of the Podfix Network.